second.
Call the meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mark?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Here.
Kirk?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Okay, we have a full assembly today. We're in our new location at the Pradovich Building, and it's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, now time for approval of minutes, and that's assembly meeting minutes of April 4th, 2016. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of that meeting.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Lagadakis to approve the minutes of April 4th, 2016. Is there any changes people would like to see? Okay, all Bob, is it?
No, I'm okay.
All those in favor of leaving them like they stand, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we have approved the minutes from April 4th, 2016 meeting. It's now time for any amendments or approval of today's meeting agenda. I'd entertain a motion to do so.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Lynn to approve today's meeting agenda. Is there any changes?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I would like to add two topics to the discussion items. The one topic has to do with the budget. I know we're going to approve it, but I have some discussion I'd like to do afterwards.
Oh, other than doing it during the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the second item is I'd like to have an update, if we could, on where the Harbor Board might be with the question we asked them in November about looking at alternative sites to put the new patrol boat, the Coast Guard patrol boat, see where they're at and where we, when we might expect some options back.
Okay, so let's make those, and that's under discussions. Let's put those as, we'll just make them C and D, just to make it simple, instead of rearranging the two other ones. Any other changes? Okay, all those in favor of the changes to the agenda and leaving the rest of it as it is written, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay. A couple modifications, and we'll work through those. If I forget, Bob, remind me when I get there. Mindy, if you would.
Okay.
There's no public hearings today on the agenda. There's bid awards. The first one is for crushed rock. I would entertain a motion to award the bid for that as presented.
So moved.
Your second?
$40,000. What do you think
their
answer would be?
Obviously, they can reduce things. It's going to come down to the where they reduce it is going to likely be visits by the architect. $159,000 of that is by consulting engineers that have to come and sign off on things. So mechanical engineering, abatement. So my guess is there's going to be very little change to that number. In other words, they have to come at certain times during the project, and their backup is there. I don't think we're going to see much change in that. So that left about $125,000 coming out of Corey's visits, and the quick look at his $40,000 cut was the majority of it came out of those cutting back on his visits. So I didn't want to go deeper there because the assembly was the one who asked for a proposal from Corey and felt, let me know that you wanted somebody high-end here reviewing this project on a frequent basis. So I can't speak to what Corey would cut next if we went that way. We can obviously go back and ask for more. So.
I just wanted to thank Bob for asking the question because I was thinking that the $44,000 would come out of the $90,000 contingency fund that we had for the borough, not for the project. So that everybody understands there's more than one contingency.
Yeah, fund. This is purely within the project itself. So we're not. Really getting into it day one, but
you know, again, I think the assembly spoke pretty loudly when you said you wanted higher-end observation and inspection on this project, and this provides that.
Any other questions of the manager?
Just noting the, like on the last page right here of the MRV architect's analysis, you can see exactly like how much he's taking out of his travel budget, and you know they have it down to just down to the line here. It's pretty interesting to be able to see how well and how accurately he took out the $44,000, and you can see that there's not a whole lot of leeway, it seems, for him to be able to decrease it any further, and for less than 5% or a little over 5% of the contingency budget for something that for quality control and everything, I feel that would be it's a reasonable sum.
And if I may add, I mean, I'm very happy with Mr. Susort and his ability to manage his project, you know, and inspect it. But his job is, you know, one thing. Having the architect come down is another level to that, meaning, and I'd be reluctant to answer Bob's question any other way than I did without Corey being here and saying, okay, by the way, oops, this would cut, you know, a lot. I'm responding to the assembly kind of wanting to have that higher level of inspection on this project. So.
Well, it seems like he's already trimmed $44,000. It's important, I think, to have someone with his expertise to be able to come down and sign off on crucial segments of the project as we go along. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe we could end up skinning that number up a little bit more over the next year or 16 months.
The hope. You know, like I said earlier, as we get into the project, we may find we don't have big problems that crop up. We might be able to, you know, if it's awarded to Mr. Susort, he may come to us and say, hey, you know what, I can probably lower it a few hours. Corey may come back and say, I don't need to make that visit. I just can't do that now. We're just starting this thing off at the moment.
And there's still the availability of staff to fill in some time if...
That's our hope, is that we can use some of our staff to backfill and make up that 44 grand. We're not really short, but put it back in the contingency if we can.
Sounds good. Any other questions about this bid award or contract administration award? Okay, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, the pass is 7-0. We have awarded the contract administration for the municipal building and police station. That brings us to visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Is there any visitors in the audience that would like to speak to items on today's agenda? Okay, I see no interest in that, so we'll move to visitors' views unrelated to items on today's agenda. Anybody care to speak to that? Could you please step forward to the microphone, state your name and who you represent, and what you want to talk about?
My name's Mike Woodworth. What I want to discuss is our new fledgling borough that we have now created some unintended consequences. Probably aren't all aware of. I'm a homeowner out at Frederick Point East. I guess you created two different taxation mill rate in an area called Service Area 1 and everybody else's Service Area 2. Basically, I guess Service Area 1 is the old city limits. Frederick Point East is in the old city limits. So as a result, we get taxed at 10 plus mills, full pop now. We had addressed this with the council way back in 84, where we got no services out there. Basically, they all agreed and moved it to 4 mills. It stayed there for about 5 years, 4 years, and then magically went back to full pop. And so right now, what it's created is kind of a bitter pill for me, because I'm also a homeowner at the Fur Farm, which is almost at outside the old city limits line. And so what I got going on is I pay full mill at both these places, yet people just almost a stone's throw from the Fur Farm pay 4 mill, and they got all the services that I got at the Fur Farm. I got bus, they got, you know, power, cable, on and on and on. And so I just would like to ask you if you agree that maybe you could restructure this a little more justly. It's in your power to do so. Have it written up and put on the ballot. I guess now your rules say that it has to be voted on by the public. So we have to go on the ballot in October, I guess. Get the majority of the votes, both the community and those that are going to be left out of this mill area down to 4 mil. So that's what I'd ask that you would maybe do in your time. If you have spare time, if you have any. That's about it, really.
Okay, thank you. Mike, any questions of Mike?
Yeah, may I ask a question, Mr. Woodworth?
Sure.
That's the topic you bring up is one I've wrestled with. Fur Farm, I think, is arguably the best example. Somebody with a good baseball arm could throw a ball and have it land in a 4 mils area compared to where you're at, and you're spot on. There's no differences in service, structural integrity, et cetera. So my question for you is, maybe you don't have the answer either because I think that's a tough one. What would you propose we do with that?
I would structure myself according to services, really. You know, it's government's supposed to be by the people for the people. We're supposed to all say, hey, I want this, so I'm willing to help pay for this. So in town here proper, you got sewer and water and all these other things. And of course, you've separated those out, which most people do, separate out some of these utilities that they self-pay for themselves. But when the services start disappearing and you're further out, the mill rate should go down. It's that simple. That's what I do. So, you know, basically from here to the hatchery, or from Scow Bay to the hatchery, services drop off, pay for your mill rate. People that are remote, Frederick Point East, even though it's on the island, is every bit as remote as almost leaving the island and going to Thomas Bay or something. And I get to pay the full mill rate. And I doubt I'll ever see a service in my lifetime for it.
Thank you, Mr. Woodworth. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other visitors in the audience today with views unrelated to any items on today's agenda? Okay, seeing none. Thanks for your comments, Mr. Woodworth, and we'll move on to board, commission, and committee reports. There is no items on today's consent agenda. We have report of other officers, real property tax roll certification. Finance Director Tao is providing the 2016 real property tax roll in keeping with Municipal Code 4.24.290, which requires the assessor to deliver to the Assembly on or before the first Assembly meeting in May of each year a statement of the total assessed valuation of all real and personal property within the borough. Jody, would you like to say anything to this, or do you want me just to read the numbers? And okay. So it looks like the total value of assessed value of property in the borough is $312,068,924. So there's no comparison to what it was before, so that's the number for this year. Jody, does that keep us in without having to raise the millage rate at all? Sorry, I'm asking.
Are these exemptions, these include exemptions besides the senior exemptions?
This amount does right here, this $42 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it also includes.
Okay, any other questions of Jody? Okay, seeing none. Thanks, Jody, for explanation. Okay, next item on today's agenda is the mayor's report. Pretty short. We're still seeking letters of interest. There's only one position to fill in the borough, which is nice. That's the position on the hospital board. There's one vacant seat. And if a person puts their name in, they will serve on that board, if accepted, till October 2016. Letters of interest may be addressed to the borough clerk and emailed to dthompson@petersburgak.gov or mailed to Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, 99833. Or you could drop them off at the new borough location, office location, and that's the PIA building at 15 North 12th Street. Another note here, the borough finance and administration offices relocation, and that also is at has been moved to the PIA building at 15 North 12th Street, so until we're done with the building downtown. Another item on the mayor's report is the borough manager's evaluation. And myself and Assembly Member Lynn conducted borough manager Giesbrecht's evaluation interview on April 14th, 2016, during which we reviewed the compilation of evaluations submitted by department heads, assembly members, and the manager himself. Myself and Assembly Member Lynn are prepared to make a recommendation to the Assembly, unless Assembly members want to, at the end of the meeting, you can see we have an executive session scheduled if we want to go in and talk about the evaluation with the manager and us. So what is the will of the Assembly? Would you like to just have Bob and I kind of give you a little rundown on the meeting, and then, or would you rather go into executive session if you have specific questions? I guess that's how we could do it. I mean, if you look at the, what, Nancy?
If we don't like your report, can we go into executive session to discuss
it? It's after this on the agenda, so I suppose we still can. So, Bob, I guess what I got, what came out of the joint meeting there was it was a very successful interview with Steve, and his evaluation was good. It was all, for most parts, pretty much all Mets, the job standards or exceeded the job standards. We talked about salary and the manager's feeling as well as ours, that just leave the manager's salary like it is for the time being, since the fiscal situation, the state and the borough. But if, you know, the state's position is stronger this year than, you know, anticipated, we could address this, a potential raise for the manager later in the year. Is that how you remember the conversation, Steve?
Just yes, sir.
Make sure I'm remembering this right. One other thing that came out of the meeting was to possibly change the date for this evaluation. And it makes sense. The manager suggested this, that we start it. When did you want to start it, Steve? So it coincided with the budget program. So
it could be completed prior to the budget being finalized or as part of that budget process. It makes the review starts to give me direction on how you want us to approach the budget. Then I can do reviews on the department heads, which I have not done, to let them know. So it kind of filters down from there. You set the objectives, you set the goals, you set it with me, then I can set it with them, and then it can be reflected in the budget. So I can come up with a schedule that would work. Basically, I need to get with Jody and find out when we would have to start that to give everybody enough time to get it done. But,
okay, so at this point, we'll just plan on maybe changing the timing of it so it coincides with the budget.
If the Assembly agrees that that logic makes some sense, we'll incorporate that into basically our budget schedule is what it amounts to.
Does that sound acceptable to the Assembly?
Yeah, reasonable.
Yeah, but all in all, it was a very positive evaluation. So Steve's with us for a lot longer. And I guess we're going to start doing it annually, and whatever we come up with for a new date. How long has it been, a year and a half or so since the last one, or has it been longer than that?
2 years.
A couple of years, yeah. So we weren't following our own rules on that issue. So anyway, that's it on that part. And I had a couple items to add. And one thing we need to do is get an idea of attendance at the meetings starting the second meeting in June. I know Member Logadakis said she will be gone in June. Is that what you were saying, Cindy?
From June 9th until July 9th.
Okay, so, and I will be here the next two meetings in the second one in May, the first one in June, and I will be gone the second meeting in June. So that means Cindy and I will both be gone. I think Cindy will be gone. You'll be here for the first meeting in June,
yes,
correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then for that SEPA meeting, and then gone. So she'll be gone for the first meeting in July and the last meeting in June. So is that anybody else have any planned trips that we could?
I'll be gone the first week of July.
Okay, so Mindy could work with that. So that means three of us will be gone. And Kurt, your travel will probably, you'll be gone most of the summer.
Yeah, I'll be here for the first meeting in June, and then I won't be back until sometime towards the end of September.
Okay, so we'll have to see what we can work out. Steve?
But I will attend as usual, though, telephonically, though, if need be, you know, so.
That doesn't qualify for a quorum.
No, right.
Telephonically, does not?
No.
Mm-mm. No, it didn't.
It has to be in person.
Interesting.
So I guess we'll just see how that gets to put on our radar to keep an eye out for
looks,
that.
It looks like the first meeting in July, then we will not have a quorum unless something
It looks like that, okay. Yeah, potentially. There is a chance that I will be, you know, in town delivering fish or, you know, something. Oh, that's the 4th of July. I have to be in town then. I've been there once in 10 years, I think. So, okay, Cindy and I attended a meeting in Ketchikan, a SEPA meeting. It was kind of interesting, and we're moving forward with the Swan Lake Rays. Hopefully it goes as planned and will be operating by this fall. There's a couple little hiccups along the way, but I think it appears like it will happen. The next meeting for SEPA is here June 8th and 9th. That's kind of the budget meeting, so that'll be, we're still trying to find a location, but that'll be advertised. Cindy, did you have anything you wanted to add about the SEPA meeting? I know there was a lot of things talked about.
Maybe the proposal for the third turbine?
Yeah, that was one thing that was brought up, and the board directed staff to look into the possibility and the economic value or whether it'd be worthwhile to put the third turbine in at Tyee, since this Swan Lake raise is going to benefit the Swan Dam only, and which Ketchikan will benefit from the 25% increase in capacity of that facility. We're looking to maybe do something to the north end, and that would boost the whole system's generation capability as well. So that was, SEPA seems to be healthy. There is talk of potential rate increases, wholesale power price, but if you consider we've been paying 6.8 cents for 19 years, it's a pretty good deal. And if you look at the rebates that we've been getting, and I didn't bring that information with me, you probably got it from trade, didn't you, Cindy?
I did, but I don't have it with me either.
It's if you figure in the rebates, we haven't been paying 6.8 cents. It's been less with the money we get back from the sale of electricity. So it's been a good deal for us. Intertied on a SEPA system. So that's all I have to report. I'll do that under communications, I guess. So next item on the agenda is the manager's report. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If the assembly remembers, we had an issue with UnCruise hitting one of our floats. They have actually paid all but just short of $8,000 of the Middle Harbor repair. We've invoiced them for the remaining balance. So thanks to them and GLOW's staff who helped handle that. We had a couple of resignations in the police department. Officer Dodson and Dispatcher Hoodle resigned on 4/18. We're doing a search to fill the positions instead of a police officer and dispatcher. We're going to replace with one full-time dispatcher and a three-quarter time dispatcher. Saves us a little bit of money, and will reduce some police coverage, and we'll get some of the costs down as well. See how that works. The abatement on the old Muni building is scheduled to begin on May 2nd. We heard that the contractor is on their way and should be here this afternoon or this evening, so my guess is they'll start mobilizing, and we should start seeing them down there very shortly. Congratulations to Chief Swihart. He was appointed to the Alaska Police Standards Council and confirmed by both the House and the Senate. It is something they actually could agree on. Kelly was deserving of being on that board. On April 25th, Lori Christensen was sentenced to 4 years in jail with 2.5 years suspended for the possession of heroin and methamphetamines with the intent to distribute. Unfortunately, we probably would have wished for a little bit more, but this is the world we live in at this moment. Parks Department is out opening the bathrooms and checking our plumbing issues to make sure we're ready for the season. This includes preparing for Mayfest activities and starting with biweekly meetings with the 4th of July committee. Street crew and all sorts of other people, but Ron, Sam, Don Martin, Aaron, Mike, Joe Pertignoli, Ira from Parks and Rec, all of them really stepped to and made this move possible. Did all the heavy lifting. We didn't have to hire any of that to get everything moved up here. All the stuff out of the old building. Derek at Public Works handled the public down there, cleaning out the rest of the building. So just a thanks to everybody. Made it really seamless. We had 3 days scheduled for the move. By Thursday afternoon, we were in place and starting to unpack everything. So worked out really, really well. Public Works will be sweeping, washing, and painting crosswalks on Main Street in preparation for Mayfest. But also, at the same time, they were helping us move. Also completed an upgrade of the water service off Neptune Street near Lumber before the paving efforts began later in the spring and summer. And then helped get the salmon label trash cans installed. So, again, you see them, tell them thanks. CBC Construction successfully coordinated a tight window for the completion of the underground gravity sewer work on the South Nordic. The project did have some challenges. We did discover an entire main from Singley Alley to Lumber Street needs to be replaced and regraded. So we're in the middle of getting the change order for that. The contractor will return to Petersburg in June to finish the work on the upgrades to the two pump stations, activate the new force main in South Nordic, and abandon the old force main on the South Harbor Beach. So we're getting there. Horion Associates has secured permitting for the open top container loading bulkhead at the Baylor facility, putting final touches on that. Project design and the public works crew will likely complete the work in June. So again, another project that we'll do ourselves once it's engineered. We received word that the borough will be paid in full for monies owed by Channel Construction for the scrap metal purchased and removed from the landfill in 2013. Shortly after they removed the material, they declared bankruptcy and only paid about half of what they owed us. Recently, the court has approved a repayment schedule that will pay the sanitation department the remaining $40,000 plus, over the next 5 years. So come in bits and pieces, but we'll get the majority of it. We're still having some issues with the new street sweeper. We've reactivated the old one in order to be able to keep the streets clean and trying to work through the warranty issues on the new unit. It's likely it's going to be sent back to Oregon, I believe, for the second time, and to work on the hydraulic system. So they keep telling us it never happened before. We're losing a little bit of faith, and Carl's working with them to try to make sure we get this resolved. Chief Swihart came across a pretty good deal in working with the motor pool as well. NOAA is getting rid of two of their crew cab pickups that have very, very low miles. They'll basically, if everything goes as planned, they'll give them to us. If that's the case, we'll retire the two Expeditions, turn these two pickups into police vehicles, and that money will not have to be expended. Instead of buying the vehicles, we'll have there'll be still money required to get them outfitted to be police vehicles. Saves us lots of money if this all comes through. So thanks to NOAA and Carl and Kelly for potentially getting us a pretty good deal here. We've had a bunch of our standard inspections up at the manor and more coming up. Simplex fire alarm inspection, state licensing inspection, the REAC inspection, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation inspection, and a Medicaid inspection, all at the Manor, coming up either in the past month or so and coming up. So thanks to Sheila and her staff for working through all of that. As we've done the past few seasons, we're scheduling six window replacement elderly housing. Hopefully those will be installed by the end of May. Kind of just rotating those through to get those older windows out of there and more energy efficient in place. Community development is working on a new online property viewer. This is something that many folks use to look at property here in the borough and in surrounding areas. The one that we had when we went to our new mapping system did not work or did not work well. So we're working through that to make sure it's available for folks who can go look at that. Had not already heard, the actual land entitlement increased to the borough after DNR included the acreage at Thomas Bay as an additional 64 acres. So, again, we're not through with that process, but it was nice to finally have them recognize that our issue was real and that that property should be included in the property we could choose. PEDC has released the RFP for design and engineering of the small vessel workyard at Scow Bay. This is a project that's been on the list for a very, very long time. We do not have the money to necessarily do it, but we can get if we can get the design done, we can get a better idea of what that cost would be long term and go from there. Petersburg Children's Center was awarded a $20,000 grant from the CrossFit Fund for health and safety improvements as part of their expansion project. Thanks to Liz Cabrera for all of her work on making this happen. Ryan attended the Arson Investigative Conference, and Sandy attended the Southeast Region EMS Symposium and participated in a Southeast Region tabletop exercise workshop and the CERM's board meeting. So, again, we're trying to keep up with the training schedules and meeting schedules on a lot of the groups that we're involved in to keep everybody safe here. So thanks to both of them and their volunteers put on a really good family day, fun day for the community at the fire station. Pretty well attended. Thanks to the volunteers for giving up their Saturday for the event. Thanks to Papa Bears for the root beer floats and pizza, and the Ragnarok Rollers for serving hot dogs. And then last, thanks to the Wrangell Fire Department for loaning us their smoke trailer. This has been an annual event and seems to be going really well in the community. The junior firefighter program ended at the couple days ago, end of April. Thanks to all of them who made the program a success. That include the kids involved and as well as the adults and volunteers up there training. And we received a great letter from one of our visiting trainers for the fire department. He was extremely complimentary of Ryan and Sandy and all of the volunteers he worked with during his time in Petersburg. So a shout out to all of them. That's it, unless there's questions.
All right. Any questions of the manager on his report, Bob?
Just a question. On the Thomas Bay, that added, did you say 45 acres to the selection?
64
acres.
Yes.
And I believe that was the next priority on the Land Selection Committee's proposal, if I remember correctly.
I believe so, but
I think so, too.
Any other questions of the manager? I've got a couple questions. Actually, the street sweeper, so obviously, or hopefully, they're paying for the freight back and forth. And what seems to be the problem? It just doesn't do the job. I mean, it looks like a efficient piece of equipment. But
it's a very efficient piece of equipment. But what we're seeing is that the first issue that we had was tied to an electrical problem that was really deep in the wiring harness on the piece of equipment. That was resolved after we sent it down. It was an issue the company had seen in Europe, but not so much in the U.S. So it was a condition that the company had dealt with, but not the Oregon vendor that we bought it with. So it threw them. The second issue that we're dealing with right now is related to the hydraulic system. The whole unit operates on hydraulics, including the drive, the wheel drive, the blower. Everything is run by hydraulics, and We run it for about 20 minutes, and then it starts jerking and acting erratically, which you just can't have when you're driving something the public's very unsafe, not only for the operators but for anybody that's walking by. So it's an issue that has been hard to pin down, and the vendor has offered to get it down there. I actually put him at arm's length for a little bit just to try and work him over the phone and through FaceTime and different things with our mechanics to see if we could get it resolved without an expense. But it doesn't look like that's working out, so we're going to have to send it down, I'm pretty sure. They're saying the right word, and they're very embarrassed that this is happening to us, but it's not working out so hot for us. So thank goodness we have our old sweeper that we could use on the street this spring. Otherwise, we'd have a big mess on our hands. So it's not the best situation. I'm working as hard as I can to get it resolved.
Well, like you say, we're lucky we have one that functions, and hopefully they drive it around on a dirty street down there and test it before they send it back. Kurt?
Yes. Carl, you said something about you guys are spending some time working on this, trying to resolve it yourselves. Is there any compensation for that from this company? Is that something that they're willing to do? And, you know, it sure seemed to me it'd be a lot easier for an airplane ticket and a box full of equipment to come up here instead of that machine having to go south. But then I'm not in that business, so I have no clue.
Right. I thought the same thing. I wanted to get one of their technicians up here to work on it. And because there's so many different parts on that could be wrong, to have a big enough box of stuff to bring with them, they were hesitant on that. If they have a really good inventory of parts in Oregon, so they're more comfortable with paying the freight to get it down there than sending a technician up once or twice or three times in order to get it fixed completely. No discussion of over compensation for our time spent on these warranty issues yet, but it's getting to the point where their goodwill is, you know, it got us so far, but it's time to get the thing on the road and get it working, and conversations are going to get a little more tense, I think, as this goes forward.
Any other questions? Derek?
Not enough for Carl, though.
Oh, okay. Right. Maybe since you're there, Carl, I had one other question about the trucks that we're going to get from NOAA. They can be retrofitted to be police vehicles.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, they're crew cab pickups, like Steve said, very low miles. And it would be a really good opportunity for us to save thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, Eric, you had another?
Yes. Actually, I had a question for Chief Swihart. I just wanted to applaud you for getting on to the council, and I was curious as to what the benefits for the community would be for your involvement in the council.
Well, it was a great honor to be asked to be on the council, and there's going to be a little more work on my plate, but that's a good thing. Give me a some experience working through those processes. I think what it's going to do for the community is it's going to give me a direct link, or the community a direct link, to police standards, and we are able to influence the standards of the officers, correction officers, probation officers, how that whole system works. We're able to decide what training is needed, what training is available, how we're going to pay for that training through the police training surcharge that's collected, and it will also, with some of those direct links, I believe that we can share some of our challenges directly with the legislature and the governor that we're seeing here locally, and hopefully get some feedback and some help on those sorts of things.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chief. Unless anybody else has a little question for him while he's up here, doesn't have to walk back and forth. Thanks, Chief. Okay, that's it for the manager's report. That brings us to unfinished business, and there we have one item. That's ordinance for the third and final reading. It's ordinance 2016-05. It's an ordinance adopting the budget for fiscal year July 1st, 2016 through June 30th of 2017. I would entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So moved.
I'll second.
Moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lagadakis to adopt ordinance 2016-05. Is there any discussion?
Sure.
Jay?
First off, I have some thoughts I guess I'll put with Bob's discussion item later because it isn't really relevant. I was gone for the first two meetings, so I figured I'd share my brief two cents on it. First off, it seems like a thoughtful and responsible budget. Thank you for everyone who put their effort into it. Secondly, to focus on community service and in particular WAVE. My take is I think it's going to be important for us to amend our budget to fully fund WAVE this year and find a way to pay for it. WAVE is a critical piece of community infrastructure. I stress the word critical. Further, they're the only agency who has stated that this request is a one-time request. This is not a long-term financial relationship they're looking for. I think that fits well with what the community service budget is designed for. Also, they requested their money last, and just because they requested last does not mean that their request is not equally as valid or worthy as the other ones. Reading over the information that Ms. Wooten presented to us, I see nothing missing from that. I see nothing that would prevent us from fully funding them this year. In short, I think it's going to be important for us to do it. Other than that, love the budget. Thanks, everyone, for their work.
And I can kind of provide a second to that, too, is that, you know, I feel we also need to fully budget WAVE for this year, you know, and provide a second to Jay also that noticing that that this is not something that we've established in the past, and you know there are no intentions by the organization to ask for funding in the future. You know, being as this is just a single time request, I feel that, and I appreciate the $10,000 that was granted from mental health in order to be able to help them through this period. I feel that mental health has the ability to weather this storm better than WAVE does. And I'm loath to vote against the budget due to all the extra effort that has gone into it, you know, and for the culmination of the year up until we approve it. But I feel strongly that WAVE needs to be supported because it is such an important aspect in the community.
Kurt, can I ask a question of Assemblymember Castro, so where do you anticipate taking these funds from? You kind of alluded to to the Petersburg Mental Health. So you're thinking about taking it out of their budget?
I would.
Is that the intent?
I would have that proposed. Yes, I would propose that we do take it out of the existing $75,000 that mental health has requested. So we remove the $20,000 from that. They're still looking at over $50,000 of funding, which is greater than any other community service aspect to this portion of the budget. And with their residual money they have saved up through 22 years of hard savings, I still feel that they have the ability to get through this short period of time, the single year, better than WAVE does. And so that would be a proposal and an option.
Go ahead. So I guess at this point, if that's how you want to present it, you should make a motion and to that effect. And if we get a second, we can discuss that particular item.
Okay.
I think that would be the proper way to do this. Nancy, one comment before
I just have a question. Would we be amending it, or how do you do that?
Depends on what his motion.
Could ask Jody, is there any funding, any place to find $17,000, $18,000 more for WAVE?
Could you come to the microphone, Jody? First thing I guess we need to do is come up with a dollar value that we would need to fully fund WAVE. Would it be $20,000 more, Eric?
Less than that.
Yeah.
So they were asking in total, I believe, 46,000.
46,536.
So they're looking for another 21,000.
I'm sorry, Jody, I didn't hear you. 21.
So they're looking for another 21,000 because they've already been funded 25,000 total. The general fund does have a contingency of 90,000, so you could lower that by 21,000. That's an option. We also have a surplus budget of 23,000, so you could just take it out of there, and then the surplus would be about 2,000. And you wouldn't have to decrease mental health budget requests.
Jody, may I ask a question of that? So where would the surplus go? If would it just go into the general fund and then, okay. So in essence, that's an excellent place to be able to take the money from, as opposed to having to take it away from somebody else who's requested it. Okay.
Okay. Well, now that we have that information in front of us, the how much more they need, which sounds like 21,000. I don't know if it's 21,536. Which is what their request was 46,536. They were funded 25,000 so far in the proposed budget. Mm-hmm. So that's what the number would be. It would be another 21,536. So we would need a, in my mind, we'd need a motion to amend this ordinance in its third and final reading to come up with those numbers, whether we get it from contingency money or 23,000 in the red in the budget, but that would be underneath that motion's discussion, I would think.
Okay.
So,
were you waiting on something, Bob?
Should we?
Yes. I was going to make a motion that we take the reduce waves or PMHS down to 50,000 as they had last year. Take the 20,000 that was originally in there and give that to WAVE. That still puts them $1,000, $1,500 short, but that's, and I'm not in favor at all of getting into contingency. Mm-hmm. And that would put them within $1,500 of what they want.
Jody, you have a comment?
Just a comment on what Bob said. They did get $50,000 last year in mental health, but they also got another $35,000 for substance abuse. So they had got a total of $85,000.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we need to make a motion on ideas. That's a motion to take the money from Petersburg Mental Health Service and give it to WAVE.
Reduce Petersburg Mental Health Service to 50,000. Take the other 20,000 that would be left and give that to WAVE as part of it. That would bring them within $1,500 of what they wanted.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
For the sake of discussion, I'll second.
Okay. The motion's been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Logadakis, to reduce the amount budgeted to Petersburg Mental Health Service this year from $75,000 down to $50,000 and use that $25,000 that would be removed from mental health's budget to the WAVE budget. Discussion.
Go ahead. Jay? That's all right.
Did I say the motion was made by Member Lim? And said, you know that you've got it written down. All right, just so we keep it on the record. All right, sorry, Jay.
Oh, no problem. First of all, I'm glad to hear the Assembly talking about fully funding WAVE. I wasn't sure how that'd be received. All source money aside, if we're going to get them within $1,500, why not squall the WAVE with it? And it's my 2 cents on it. I'm dealing with millions of dollars in the budget to end up stuck over $1,500 at the end. I would advocate for throwing the extra $1,500 on top and just being done with it. My 2 cents.
Okay, Cindy?
I'm going to let Steve address that first. I wanted to direct a question to Annette. I know that WAVE had a meeting and talked about some fundraising opportunities. Was there anything that came out of that meeting? And I apologize that I was not able to attend.
And I also, these little breaks we get when people have to walk up.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to say, and Annette provided that information to us, but not maybe to the public, that if the additional funding isn't provided, her position goes away. So the whole complexion of WAVE changes for the year if we're not able to come up with that funding. But your fundraising meeting? Or clarify if I said the wrong thing.
Yeah, it was just a community discussion to try to come up to solve this problem. You know, the WAVE board has done a great job about trying to solve it, but I think more minds coming together definitely helps with the solution. We talked about maybe creating a guild to just focus on fundraising, so that takes that load of having to deal with fundraising off of me so that I can focus more on advocacy, which is great. And I did actually get a call from Senator Stedman's office, and he's checked with Lori Morton just to be sure if there's any funding for this year. And she said, yes, there's no funding from the state this year, which was unfortunate, but I appreciate that they actually looked into it for us. So, you know, we're still looking into opportunities.
Okay. But there's nothing planned or a dollar amount target that you have coming up?
No.
Okay.
Okay, Kurt, did you have a question this week as well?
Yeah. In reference to Bob's motion here, is that $1,500 going to make or break your operation if we don't get it to you?
The what request you guys... that we put in there, I mean, we'll fundraise to make that if we need to. But okay. And the request that we put in, also, we're still fundraising. We're still fundraising for people who need an airline ticket out of town or other things. You know, this what I'm requesting is mainly to sustain WAVE for the year so that we know that we can have an employee for 1 year, that we know that we have an office space for that 1 year. And that way we don't have to think, well, maybe we'll get halfway through the year and then we'll have to lose this position.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you. So the motion is to take $50,000 from the Petersburg Mental Health Service budget and move it to WAVE. And then Mr. Greger, or...
Take...
What's that? Take 50 from Petersburg Mental Health.
No, leave 50.
Oh, leave 50, take 25. Okay, I got my numbers right. I made a mistake. Okay, so, and then Member Greger was talking about fully funding it. So if we're going to do that, if he wants to make a motion to amend the amendment for the full... $26,536 instead of the $25,000, then we'd need to do that, either that or leave the motion amendment like it is. I'm confusing myself, but
me as well, but I'm good.
Okay, so that was just a discussion item. Any more discussion on the amendment to take leave $50,000 in Petersburg Mental Health Services budget this year and take the $25,000 that would be removed from it and move that to WAVE? Any more discussion?
Kathy's got her hand up.
Kathy?
Good afternoon. I must say I like your new digs better than down the street. I have to go check out the offices. I think it is important, too, that we fund WAVE, but I would like your consideration to consider that taking it out of your reserves. This year, the state has put forth those two other grant opportunities to mental health that no one else can get, that we are still getting from last year. That's the trauma funds and prevention. It's Bob's, which you brought up the last meeting. They've asked for grant applications. It's not guaranteed we're going to get that money. They're asked for the applications we've submitted. If you cut our local position back, shows the state that the locals don't support mental health as great a degree as it did before. That also will directly affect what we can do with our partners, which here in the community, which are the police department, the hospital, and the school system. So I would like to see you guys take it out of your reserves again for another year and leave us at 75. Because you're actually going to be affecting three entities within the community if you take it from us.
Okay. Do you have a question, Cindy?
I do, Kathy. And maybe I don't understand mental health reserves, because you do have a pot of money in reserve, too. Are there some constraints on that?
Not on our reserves, but our program money there is. And the program money that we have been supporting these other entities with is the prevention, and it subsidizes us, too. You've been involved a little bit in the prevention, mm-hmm. the SHARE Coalition. Mm-hmm. That's where we have the opportunity to use those funds to work with those groups to promote things. If we take it out of our operating funds, it just pulls us back further.
And it
demonstrates the state. If we turn around and show, local funding, they're not going to support it.
So yeah, I understand.
Give them an opportunity to look down on it, too.
Any other questions of Kathy while she's up? No. You know, my position on this is the budget situation is to not take any more money, if we can avoid it, out of our contingency or the $23,000 that's left, you know, in the red. We don't know what the state's going to do. We might be coming back in 3 months or whenever they get done with their session and going through the whole budget process again of where are we going to cut more. I think we need to work within the money that we've already slated to be expended instead of adding more to it. That's my personal feeling. So any more discussion on the amendment to the ordinance?
I guess I have a question for Steve and for Jody. Is there some way to identify that we would fully fund mental health's additional request if we have a surplus at the end of the budget cycle or a part way through the budget cycle?
Either.
We're really giving you guys your exercise this year. The other thing that I wanted to say to organizations, because several of the assembly members have talked about the community services budget, and to you, Jody, too, as well, I had asked for some more information from organizations this year, and we got a real mixed bag from very detailed information from some organizations to really half-baked information from some, and I have to put it that way. And I was really disappointed to see that organizations that were coming to us asking for money couldn't give us a better picture of why they needed that money. We understand, because we're community, you know, members, what those organizations do, but they should be able to tell their story. What the community, what the assembly members have talked about is having a set of questions that lead community organizations through a process of asking for money that's a little bit more clear, so that we understand what their needs are and why they have needs, and then we will expect some reporting at the end of the year so that we can tell what they've done with their money. So we may at some point want to establish a committee or something to do that, but I wanted to give you a heads up on that. But I'll let you answer my first question.
About the surplus. The thing with our budget is revenues and expenses are not even each month. So, like, for instance, we get all of our property taxes in September. Well, we don't really know until the very end of, well, actually, not even the very end of our fiscal year. We don't know until we've been audited and we get that financial report in December what our true surplus is for the year, if we have a surplus at all. So it's kind of difficult to promise an organization money that we won't know until that next fiscal year, so it would come out of that budget to pay them.
That's not the answer I wanted to hear, but
thank
you.
And then I just wanted to, while I'm up here, I wanted to clarify. So Bob was thinking of decreasing mental health budget from $75,000 to $50,000. That's $25,000. WAVE only needs $21,536. They already have $25,000. So... did you really mean $20,000 and they were going to make up
$20,000?
Okay. So mental health would go down to $55,000 total funding.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for that clarification, Jody. And if the assembly's good with it, we'll back up a little bit, and we'll say the $20,000 will be taken from Petersburg Mental Health move to WAVE. Is that acceptable? It works for me. I mean, I just had the wrong number. So, Nancy?
I'm not entirely sure it is acceptable, because as Kathy pointed out, if we cut their grant, it sends a signal that they're that much less important, and it lessens their probability of getting grants from the state.
I understand that part, but my blessing I was trying to get from the assembly was just the $5,000 value instead of $25,000 coming from Petersburg Mental Health and going to
I
understand how that might I don't totally understand, but I could see how that would affect the state's feeling for giving, you know, money, or how they judge, you know, how much they can give, if there's community support for a project or not. But just kind of halfway paying attention to what's going on in the state, just seeing how they're struggling with how they're going to cut money. They're going to be cutting money that's going to affect services dramatically. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that comes to mind is the police budget, or for what they're lowering the level of a crime for keep people incarcerated. It's going to save them $400 million, but what's that going to do to the people on the street? Like it was on the news this morning, the guy knows he can get away with $999, but not $1,000 before he gets convicted of something. Well, maybe he'll steal less. So anyway, it's a mess. Tough decision to make. Mm-hmm. Kurt, you have another comment?
That's exactly the same vein I was mining there too in my head, Mark. I don't think the state's going to look upon us as not caring enough about mental health in this community when they themselves are going to be reducing the mental health budget too in the state. I think they'll just look at us as being physically responsible, and I think this is going to be we got another couple of really tough years to go. I think a lot of departments are going to probably be pretty upset with us. I think a lot of people are going to wish that we could go back 15 years when money was just flowing in. But I think we're going to have to start making some really hard calls, and I think this is the beginning. So anyway, I'm going to probably support Bob's amendment, and just simply because we need to distribute this money a little more evenly amongst the community and be more fiscally responsible. So
any more discussion on the amendment? Let me see if I get the numbers right this time. Reduce Petersburg Mental Health Services grant from $75,000 down to $55,000, transferring that $20,000 to WAVE in this budget. So, okay, if there's no more discussion, will the clerk call the roll on the amendment?
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
No.
Okay, the amendment to the budget, which is just like I stated, to transfer the numbers, passes 6-1 with Assembly Member Strand voting in the negative. That brings us back to the ordinance, the budget as amended. And I'll not go over the numbers again because I'll probably get it wrong this time again. So we'll be going back and forth over that. So is there any more discussion on the budget ordinance as it has been amended? And just one more thing. I was talking with Jody a little bit this morning about how the money, you know, sometimes smaller amounts, just write a check. This year, if I'm not mistaken, Jody, you're going to bigger amounts will be kind of just doled out as we go along to the... Right. So this might not be the last discussion on the whole budget. We'll see how the state comes out. So if there's no more discussion on the ordinance as amended, will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Okay. The budget ordinance in its third reading has passed as amended. That brings us to item B under new business. That was old business. Now it brings us to new business. First item there is ordinance 2016-06, an ordinance adding marijuana regulations to Chapter 604, alcoholic beverages and marijuana. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
That's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Greger to adopt Ordinance 2016-06 in its first reading. Discussion. And Nancy?
Is this where we need to discuss the Clean Air Act and the, since we are still discussing the cannabis ordinance?
I think what was suggested to us by the, I guess it could be part of the discussion, suggested to us by our borough clerk, Debbie, was to, if we pass this in the first reading, then address the smoking ordinance, because the way the smoking ordinance is, you wouldn't be able to allow to smoke marijuana in an establishment, even if you agreed that was a good idea. So And then if we catch that up, so we have the second reading for both of them at the same time, would be the first meeting in June, I guess. Maybe, you know, we'd see how we could modify it, the smoking ordinance. Maybe it could be just for smoking cannabis in a certain establishment. You don't have to change the whole thing. I'm sure that'd be a legal question. But Steve, it looks like you had a comment to make.
Yeah. You said it well, Mr. Mayor. Basically, if the Assembly approves the ordinance and the marijuana ordinance in front of you, then we'll need to go back, staff will need to go back and alter our clean air ordinance to match, to make that work. And that'll take us a little bit of time, and, you know, we'll make that happen. And then we'll catch it up so that you end up voting on the future readings of this all at the same time.
So it kind of makes sense what you're kind of getting why Debbie presented it to us that way, because if this failed in its first reading, it'd be dead. So why go forward with the smoking ordinance?
Yes, sir.
Bob?
Yeah.
Just a question. Would the marijuana ordinance then need to be amended itself if the smoking ordinance is also amended? In other words, what we're really talking about is establishing a place at which you could smoke it, similar to a bar, a marijuana bar. And I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't read that in this particular ordinance.
Okay. This ordinance, if the marijuana ordinance, if passed, will allow, by not purposely excluding, on-site use of marijuana at a licensed facility. So unless you change that, if somebody opens up a retail location, they can smoke in, you know, again, as long as it follows state law. So that's kind of why we were waiting, is if the Assembly wants to say no to that on-site use, then we don't have to modify the Clean Air Act. If you do want to allow that, we've got to modify the Clean Air Act, which says no smoking indoors.
Yeah, Jay, you had a comment or question?
Just a bit of information adding, I guess. If you have a retail outlet, you can buy the, I believe the proper term is an endorsement for on-site consumption as an added part of your permit. And the state had several reasons for that, one of them being it's allowed in other states at this point, so it follows a pre-established norm. Part of that norm was created to reduce smoking on the street. People purchase their product, walk outside, they give a controlled environment for that. Long story short, a retail outlet does not necessarily imply that they'd have to purchase an additional permit for that, the endorsement for on-site consumption.
And reading through the ordinance, it's going to limit the amount that you can
purchase
and use, and you can't bring your own in. And
correct.
So it's going to be a limited amount.
Following state statute. Yeah.
Kurt, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say it seems like at this juncture that we're getting ahead of ourselves. We've only got one person that's even said that she was going to apply, and this will, you know, and if she's listening, I would really encourage her to go south and check out what other establishments are doing long before she decides to jump in here, because I made a little tour when I was down in Seattle here this last time just to see what this whole thing is all about, you know. And it could be very complicated here. So anyway, I think we should be able to revisit that smoking ordinance. I mean, not necessarily the smoking ordinance, but the marijuana smoking ordinance, you know, when I think that time comes. So in the meantime.
And we have to realize this is the first reading, and then it's going to probably open up the discussion and public comments, and the next reading will be, you know, we'll have the public hearing on it. So I hope people will come and voice their opinion so it's not seven people making up the decision and we have more input, whichever way it goes. Eric?
Yes. Well, you know, and looking through the Smoke-Free Air Act 2010, in this section 9.32.050, it's smoking prohibited in private clubs, and it just says smoking shall be prohibited in all private clubs. And I feel that a private retail shop would qualify underneath that that line right there. And if so, then we would just have to amend that single location, just so that single sentence, just and it, which could be a fairly easy Easy Act to...
You know, and I'm not sure if that was put in there, if that's mirroring what the state has, or if that was put into, because I know the local Elks Lodge passed a rule on their own to eliminate smoking before this even passed.
Uh-huh.
So, and, you know, I think the Moose didn't, so maybe that's what it refers to, but that could be as easy as that. Steve, do you have another comment?
No, just, Eric's correct. I don't think it's a big change to our smoking ordinance, but it is a change, mm-hmm. and... You know, we want to run that by the attorney. We wanted to see how the vote would go today. That tells us whether to mess with it or not. And
once that was my question.
Once we know that, we'll go in and make the change or make a recommended change. Attorney looks at it. Should be quick and painless. Mm-hmm. And then the next time we bring that back, we'll bring back the smoking ordinance, if that's how it goes, for the assembly to vote on. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have them synced up to try to have them both voted on at the same time.
Okay, well, yeah, Nancy just mentioned that's why she was wondering if we need to address this smoking ordinance right now, but I guess it's just informational for us as we move forward if this ordinance 2016-06 passes in its first reading. Mm-hmm. So any other discussion on ordinance 2016-06 in its first reading? Eric?
Yeah, I see no reason to hold back the adoption of this ordinance, unless there's a, you know, by working around the Smoke-Free Air Act, unless, of course, we have business people who are interested in including this into their business model. And I feel that if we are able to open it up, maybe it would give more options to those business people to... in order to, you know, create a business plan that, I mean, perhaps they'd have to build another room upstairs or have to work ventilation into, you know, the construction of their new facility. And if we were to initially say that there was no smoking on premises, and then, you know, even though it would be convenient for us to be able to say it afterwards, a year later, maybe they've already done all their construction, and then they're going to have to put another $50,000 in order to beef up their ventilation and, you know, create a separate room or something, especially for that. I don't know. I just feel that we need to get this onto the streets as soon as possible, just to allow the entrepreneurs in town to an opportunity to get on board with this.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? You know, Member Walherter mentioned that there's only one person that's actively applying for a on-site smoking permit, but maybe that would change if, you know, maybe there's more people interested. They're waiting to see if it's even available to them, whether,
my assumption,
depending on which way this ordinance goes. So if there's no other discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes. Okay, ordinance 2016-06 passes unanimously in its first reading. And that moves us on to another ordinance, 2016-07. This is an ordinance adding fines for marijuana violations to Chapter 1.16, General Penalty and Interest. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Member Castro, seconded by Member Greger to adopt ordinance 2016-07 in its first reading. Discussion? Okay.
Yeah, in short, it seems pretty straightforward. Thanks to the people who put work into that. Definitely going to be voting for it. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, it's just pretty simple for the listening audience. It's just the way the fines would be organized for violating marijuana laws. Kurt?
One thing I might add is this is on the borough website, so if the listening public wants to read it themselves, they can go ahead, and if they've got any concerns or interest in it for the second reading, they can come and testify. So,
yeah, thanks for adding that. Yeah, it's all available. All this information is available online or at the borough offices. So, any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2016-07 passes unanimously. That brings us to item 16 on the agenda, communications. I had a message, as you know, we've invited many dignitaries to Mayfest, and Got a call from the Lieutenant Governor's office last week informing me that Lieutenant Governor Mallott won't be able to make it just due to the ease of travel. He's doing a lot of traveling around Mayfest, and he won't be able to make it. He's sorry he can't make it. He had a good time when he was here last year. The governor is still hoping he can attend, but they might be in Juneau going through a lot worse things than we're going through right here. So any other communications by anybody? Okay. Seeing none, that brings us to assembly discussion items. Southeast Conference, and Vice Mayor Logadakis requested that the local Southeast Conference Committee present some kind of a status report at the next assembly meeting or the May 16th meeting, so we could kind of get a feel for how the planning's going. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a big endeavor, so I imagine they'd be working with Shelley Wright from the
Southeast Conference.
Yeah. So, and I'm not sure. I think Debbie's involved with that. Mindy, we talked about this a little
bit. We're both on that committee.
Okay, yeah. So has there been traction? Are you getting any groundwork laid down, I suppose?
Yes, but it has been a little while since we've had a meeting, so it's probably time to put a report together, and we'll have that on the next.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any recognitions today?
Before you go on, I have a couple topics I'd like.
Well, they're C&D.
Okay.
Recognition.
Yeah, I see where you're at.
I remember. I forget. Thanks for reminding me. So, any recognitions today by staff or? No? Okay.
You know what? Yes.
Okay, Eric?
I'd like to recognize Jack Slott for all the time he's put into, like, the old international, the vehicles out there at the old fire hall. And just all the volunteer hours that he's never asked for any compensation for and everything. And it's just it's a necessary thing in order to be able to accomplish an otherwise pretty difficult task and very skilled task. So having his expertise has been very beneficial.
Yeah, I agree. Looks like he's done a good job. I'd like to inspect the vehicles in person. I'm sure they
can
look pretty nice. And we'll probably see him at the next parade. Okay. Where was my note? Item C, budget. Bob, what were you?
I have a couple items I'd like to talk about. The first one is vehicles. In the past, we've gone through last year and the year before when I was on there, we went through, even after the budget has been approved, we went through three readings on each vehicle to purchase a vehicle. It seems to me, and I asked the manager if we really needed to do that, if it was in the ordinances. And the answer is no. And you can correct me, Steve, if I'm wrong, but the answer is no. So my question to the assembly is do we want to continue? We've set through three budget readings. We went through quite a detailed explanation of why the new vehicles to be purchased. Why do we need to continue to put each of those vehicles, and again, through the three readings on the budget as we go along in the year? Why can we not give the authority to Carl just now that we've got the budget approved to proceed to purchase those vehicles? Seems we already made a decision is what I'm trying to say.
And Jay?
Just to make sure I'm hearing you right, by voting for this budget right now, we're already pretty much saying we want the vehicles, so why do we have to vote for it again? It seems redundant if I'm hearing you right.
That's correct.
Yeah, gotcha. Agreed.
So, Steve, is that any... Does that sound like an acceptable method?
It's just fine. This is one of those we've always done it this way type situations, or at least since I've been here. There's absolutely no requirement once the assembly approves that expenditure. Now, there's a caveat there. If the prices approved in the budget change, meaning, you know, you approve $40,000 for something and it comes in at $50,000, I'm generally going to want to bring that back to the assembly because this is a change to the budget. But
like a supplemental.
But as long as the price is within the bounds of what's included in the budget that's presented to you, once you approve it, it's done. I don't have to bring it back. That's purely up to the assembly's will.
And in this atmosphere with the administration we have, I don't think that it's an issue. It might be different down the road, but that's for each assembly can change it as they see fit. Okay, and you had another item you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I'm still back on budget. Community services budget. Cindy made a good point earlier about we have apples and oranges when we were trying to consider the budget, so to speak, of the community. It seems to me that for next fiscal year, we need to have a set of criteria. And that I'm not exactly sure everything that should be in that criteria, but before we go out to the community to ask, you know, for them to submit things, there needs to be a set of criteria of what we'd like to see. And as I see it, we may even want to go to the point of establishing a top value, which we'll go with. I don't know. But as part of that is, what information are we going to accept and to allow, for instance, the staff to put that on the agenda? I would like to see, you know, so we can compare budgets. You know, right now you really can't. I'd like to see at least some financial information and so that we're able to look at it across the board. And I know there's a whole bunch of other criteria which I don't have the thoughts in mind, but I really would like to see for the next go around fiscal year, 16, 17, 18 budget, something to that order. And anybody else can add to or, you know, talk about what I'm
so
what
you're
I'm thinking
basically of. Just reiterating what Cindy said, have some kind of a during an application process.
Yes. Yes.
The needs and want, you know, and yep. reasons why and what you're going
to
use it for.
Right. And even to the question what we will or won't accept, maybe, I don't know, but I haven't given it that much thought, you know, type of thing.
Jay, you have a comment?
I completely agree with Bob and Cindy on that. Every other layer of our budget has been thoroughly vetted by department heads, Jody, Steve, et cetera. And this isn't the fault of the people applying for community service money, just they apply, and then it comes to us. It really has no layer of vetting in there, and it can make for it feels discriminatory, and it could be capricious to the will of an assembly down the line. I think it could be much better long-term for people in the community service portion of the budget to have a structure they can follow that better allows an assembly to make an informed decision. So in short, I agree.
Steve?
If I may, Bob, would you also want to include, like, the chamber, which is funded through transient room tax?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so that would be if something we'll have to take action on at a future meeting, if the staff could come up with some kind of a scenario or some kind of a...
We will take care of this and get it in front of the assembly at the right time for you guys to approve and all.
Okay,
and I'd be happy to work with them if you wish.
Bob, any more on the budget?
No, that's all I had on the budget. I do have, in November, we had a discussion about the new Coast Guard cutters, and since then I know that Mark's had some conversations with the Admiral and so forth, but right now we have nothing really to offer. We don't have anything on the table other than what's there, and we had asked in November for the Harbor Board to come back with some options of what we might be able to do to help enhance, you know, them coming, moving one of the new cutters at least here. But I haven't seen anything. So have we done anything, Kurt, or where are we at?
You know, I have not heard of anything that has transpired in that direction. So Glorianne, I think, is still in the air coming home. So she's going to miss this meeting. So I will I'll bring that up with her, though, and make sure that it's on the agenda at the next Harbor Board meeting. And
okay,
start
thank
having
you.
That discussion.
And I think part of the confusion, I don't know if we... confusion is even the right word. You reach out and you ask the Coast Guard, you know, what the criteria they're using, and they don't really answer that question. You know, only the most recent answers that we've gotten about them moving a new cutter here is, well, the Ketchikan's getting the first two in 2017, I think it is. We know that, and then there's going to be four more. And they kind of like the idea of housing them in pairs just for efficiency. So... and that's about it. But I understand they have had asked engineers to look at depths and soundings and stuff like that, even in Petersburg. So, it's something we need to keep abreast of. So if the Harbor Board could reach out. And
right. And I think at some point it would be good to go back to the Coast Guard with a formal letter with your discussions and where they come up with
it. Exactly. I think it might be better done through the federal delegation back in D.C., you know, so, you know, I don't know if it's worthy of a trip to go back there and talk to them in person or maybe not to start with for sure, but there's been communications with Brad Gilman back there already through the manager. So, Steve, do you have anything to throw in?
Just that was going to add that Brad had suggested that, you know, at a certain point in time, or probably not too far from that, we should probably seek legislative action, meaning a little rather than working through the Coast Guard, actually going the other way and working through our, you know, senators and representative to say, hey, we want you to help make this happen. And it's a little pushier, and the Coast Guard may not appreciate it necessarily if we go that route. But Brad was, you know, kind of putting us on notice that if, in fact, it continues to move down this road where it looks like they're going to be elsewhere, opening up that line of conversation might be pretty important.
Might be the only way to get a accurate answer from the Coast Guard. So, nothing else under assembly discussion items. We've already gone through recognitions. We don't need the executive session, it doesn't seem. So that brings us to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I like our cozy new digs.
Definitely cozy.